Welcome, everyone. Thank you so much for coming. We come together today to express our heartfelt thoughts and prayers for the victims and the families of the horrific shooting at Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, in Connecticut. And we ask that there be a local and a national dialogue to begin to address these root causes of this horrific violence. But today, this afternoon, we are here to commemorate those who have lost their lives and offer sympathy and comfort to their families and friends. I would like to mention that the sponsors of this event are the Central Illinois Mosque and Islamic Center, the First Mennonite Church or Champaign-Urbana, the U of I Religious Workers Association, the U of I Muslim Students Association, the Parkland College Muslim Students Association, the Intercultural Friendship Foundation, the Muslim American Society of Urbana-Champaign Chapter, Avicenna Community Health Center, and many other on-campus and community-wide organizations. We'll begin our candlelight vigil with the president of the Central Illinois Mosque and Islamic Center, Rashid. Walid. Rashid.
Thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum. Greeting to all. With deepest sorrow, we stand here today in interfaith vigil to express our heartfelt thoughts and prayers for the victims and families of the horrific shooting at Newtown Elementary School, as well as all other horrific shooting in other cities and towns throughout the country. And we express our dismay over such senseless violence. And on behalf of the Muslims community in Central Illinois, we pray to God that people who have issues not to take their issues on innocent others. We also pray that people be more involved in the social services and the promotion of well-being in our communities and neighborhoods. We also pray to God that our communities, both government and private, allocate more resources to the desperately needed research and in social services, including mental health. We pray God to bless our neighbors, friends, and educators for their efforts in volunteering and attention to bringing up our children. I would like to recite a section from the Quran and translate it afterward. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wal asri inna al-insana lafi khusr illa alladhina amanu wa amilu s-salihat wa tawasaw bil-haq wa tawasaw bil-sabr. In translation, by the token of time, verily man is in a loss, except such as have faith and do righteous deeds and join together in the mutual teaching of truth and practice and constancy. Also, we have a section from the Quran. I was hoping that one of our real good readers be here, but he's out of town. And I'll read it in Arabic, then translated. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنْفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. In translation, be sure we shall test you with something of fear and hunger, some loss in goods and lives or the fruit or fruits, but give glad tidings to those who persevere, who say when afflicted with calamity, say, to God we belong and to him is our return. This chapter 155. Thank you very much for attending this event. May God bless you and bless this country, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you so much, Waleed. I'd like to now introduce our next speaker, Pastor Janet Rasmussen, to the First Mennonite Church of Champaign-Urbana, who will have a few remarks for us. Thank you for being here, Janet.
Good evening. In just a few minutes, we will hear read the names of those who died last Friday in Newtown, Connecticut. We mourn each one of these murdered children of God. We pray God's mercy and healing for their families, their friends, their schoolmates. 20 precious children and 6 dedicated educators perished in a shower of bullets fired from a semi-automatic rifle inside an elementary school. Multiple bullets tore into each human body as high-velocity rounds were fired rapidly and repeatedly. Semi-automatic rifles and handguns are high-power weapons, both in speed and firepower, yet they are freely available. Indeed, all kinds of guns are freely available in our country, alone among all the wealthy industrialized nations, and our children are paying the price of their lives. We now count more than 100 school shootings since the massacre at Columbine High School in 1999. In other nations, Australia, Great Britain, Japan, for example, tragedies like Columbine and now Newtown have spurred legislative reforms, and these in turn have dramatically reduced the number of firearm murders. Isn't it time for us to wake up, to be courageous and declare the strength of our convictions? Isn't it time we said enough? Together, we must find our way to the specifics. What can be sold, to whom, and under what circumstances? But let's not waste a minute. Let's engage the dialogue and the advocacy, taking hold of this moment in time with our hearts broken open wide to say now is the time. Now is the time to end the senseless killing of our boys and girls, our men and women. Do you agree?
Yes.
Isn't it time? Yeah. Now is the time to cease the reckless sale of assault weapons and multiple firing guns, weapons meant only for murder. Isn't it time? Now is the time to make gun dealers more accountable. Do you agree? Isn't it time?
Yes.
And now is the time to recognize that more guns bring more homicides. Isn't it time?
Yes.
Now is the time to lay down our fear and to help others cast out their fear as we stand together for safeguards that build public safety and public trust. Isn't it time?
Yes.
God teaches us the power of love and calls us to be peacemakers. Specifically, in the words of the prophet Isaiah, we hear that those who walk in God's paths shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. May God grant us the resolve to honor life and work for peace. May it be so for the sake of all our children, born and yet unborn. Amen.
Thank you so much, Janet, for those words of comfort and wisdom. At this point, I'd like to introduce Dana Alcada, who will be giving the commemoration of the list of those who perished.
Tonight, we are gathered here to show our condolences for the friends and family of the students and teachers at Sandy Hook Elementary School. This vigil is for the victims, their loved ones, and their community. I'm here as a student from this campus, but I'm also in the local Muslim community, the Avicenna Community Health Center, and Students for Justice in Palestine. I grew up in Blacksburg, where several friends and neighbors were killed at Virginia Tech in 2007. So this hits very close for me. This one day has changed so many people's lives forever. And from personal experience, I can tell you that there will never be a day that they don't think about this, and they will have to always cope with grief, fear, and loss. In 2007, knowing that so many communities around the country prayed for the people I loved meant so much. That's why being here for all of us is important today. We send them our love from this campus, and I know that they will feel it because I once felt it too. I was asked to read the names of the victims, but I don't think that's enough because they weren't just names. They were people, and they're always people. And it breaks my heart to think of the lights in this world that were extinguished when someone decided to harm them in their place of learning. Charlotte Bacon was 6. On the day of her death, she wore a pink dress and boots to school. She was supposed to save them for Christmas, but she couldn't wait that long, so she begged her mother until she finally gave in. Daniel Barden, 7, he was an active swimmer, and every morning he walked to the bus stop on top of his father's shoulders. Rachel DeVino, 29, her friends describe her as loud, funny, and happy. As a teacher, she dressed up in costumes and sang songs to her class. Olivia Engel, 6, she was cast in her church's holiday reenactment of the nativity scene. She was supposed to be an angel, but she will never be able to participate in that play. Josephine Gay, 7. Only a few days earlier, she just celebrated her 7th birthday. Her favorite color was purple. Dawn Hogsprung, 47. Dawn was the principal of Sandy Hook. Reading about her reminds me of my own elementary school principal, tough but fun, too. She wore a crown and sparkly dress to school last month because she was the Sandy Hook book fairy to encourage her first graders to read. She died after throwing herself at the gunman to try to prevent him from getting into the classrooms. Dylan Hockley, 6, he just moved to Connecticut. He loved eating garlic bread and jumping on the trampolines with his older brother. Madeline Sue, 6, she loved reading, running, dancing, and wearing sunny floral dresses. Catherine Hubbard, freckles and red hair, she was the vibrant niece of an employee at ABC News. Chase Kowalski, 7. The only thing Chase wanted this Christmas was his 2 front teeth. He felt silly after losing his. Nancy Lanza, 52. Nancy was a divorced mother of 2. Her friends say she was warm, generous, and was the type of person who would pick up the tab if you couldn't. Jesse Lewis, 6. Jesse loved being outdoors and spending time with the horses his family had in the backyard. Anna Marquez Green, 6. Anna loved music. Her family says she didn't walk places, she danced into them. In her memory, her family has set up the Anna Grace Marquez Green Music Scholarship at Western Connecticut State University. James Mattioli, 6. James was a curious, energetic child who loved food. He loved Subway and used to ask his parents when he would be old enough to order a footlong. Grace McDonald, 7. Blonde hair, blue eyes, her family and neighbors always described her as a little doll. Ann Murphy, 52, a special education teacher. Her body was found in a classroom protectively covering a group of students who also died. Emily Parker, 6, described as very intelligent. The last thing she said to her father was a sentence in Portuguese, a language she was trying to master. She leaves behind 2 younger sisters who she enjoyed reading to and doing crafts with. Jack Pinto, 6. Jack loved eating chocolate ice cream bars, and he loved the New York Giants. Noah Posner, 6. Noah loved his family. His twin sister survived the shooting in another classroom. Now he has lost his twin. Caroline Praviti, 6. Last Christmas, Caroline took all her change from her piggy bank. She gave it to her local priest so he could use it to buy Christmas presents for the children who didn't have any. This year, she just wanted a camera to take pictures of everyone she knew. Jessica Ricos, 6. When Jessica's parents broke the news of her death to her brother, he only said, "Who am I supposed to play with now?" Aviel Rickman, another horse lover. Aviel was a girly girl who was wiggling her front tooth and really excited about losing it. Lauren Rossio, 30. Lauren had just landed her dream job at Sandy Hook last month. She had just been hired as a full-time teacher. Mary Sherlock, 56. Mary was the school psychologist. She was a married mother of 2 grown women and hoped to retire in upstate New York. Victoria Soto, 27. Victoria loved teaching. She didn't call them her students, she called them her kids. And she led those kids into a closet and stood between them and the gunman until she was found dead huddling over them. Allison Wyatt, 6. She was quiet and shy, but very observant. Her favorite activity was gardening with her mother. Benjamin Wheeler, 6. Even though he just moved to Sandy Hook last year, his rabbi described him as being very outgoing, friendly, and the kind of person kids wanted to be around. I would like us all to have a moment of silence to pray for the victims of this tragedy, tragedies of the past, around the world, and to please pray for a better future where this doesn't happen anymore. Now I would like to ask Ahmed Al-Khatib, president of the Muslim Student Association on this campus, to share some comments.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Verily, we belong to God, and to Him shall we return. Chapter 1, verse 156 of the Holy Quran. This is a phrase that Muslims recite upon hearing of someone's passing away, or when someone is struck by a calamity. It is a constant reminder of the fleeting nature of this life, a reminder that to our Creator we belong, and that eventually, every single one of us, without fail, shall return. Every day around us, there are loved ones coming and going. Mere moments in this temporal realm. Our reason for gathering here today is in and of itself a reminder that no matter how innocent, our life could end at any moment. This reminder adds value to every passing moment, reminds us to appreciate friends and loved ones, places in perspective what is really important in life. Unlike the media, I shy away from referring to the children as innocent, for it seems to me a bit redundant. What child is not innocent? What child can even begin to understand the evil that those victims were faced with? As a Muslim, I find solace in knowing that for each child, there waits a place in heaven. But out of calamity comes a blessing. Just look at the diversity of people who are here tonight to stand in solidarity with the Newtown victims. The Champaign-Urbana community has forgotten the divisions of religion and ethnicity to come together in honor of those affected by this tragedy. Let us remember this gathering and not let this incident be in vain. Let us... We do not need calamity to come together in this way. On behalf of the Muslim Students Association, I extend a hand to our neighbors and pray that together we always remember what is truly important. I'd like to introduce Senator Mike Frerichs.
I just want to say how important it is to see so many people here tonight, because we reflect on the events that happened, as we try and make some sort of sense of the senseless violence. As a father of a young child, it's something I've spent a lot of time these last few days thinking about. I think the one thing that is going to be able to bring us together is people from different backgrounds and different faiths connecting on a shared sense of value of human life. And not being able to be segregated and have people in their own little worlds, but to come together and really to understand and share with fellow people. And so I want to thank you for being here today and taking a step to make some sense of what seems like such senseless violence. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. I'd like now to introduce the president of the Parkland Muslim Student Association, Dunia Nadimi.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. In other words, peace be upon you. What happened in Connecticut was a shock to our nation. And it's times like this that we as Americans stand together, united as one, to give love and support to these families that need it the most right now. The Quran says in chapter 5, verse 32, that to take one innocent life is like killing all of humanity. It's not fair for children of any caste, color, or religion to suffer such a fate. No couple who thinks of bringing children to this world should ever have to worry about the likes of what happened in Connecticut to happen to their children. What happened in Connecticut was not a disaster just to our religious beliefs or just to our nation, but it was a blow to humanity as a whole. Even so, in such darkness, glimmer of lights shine through. Verse 32 continues by saying that saving one life is like saving all of humanity. Parkland Muslim Student Association would like to take this moment to recognize Victoria Soto, Mary Sherlock, and Don Hawksprung, who sacrificed their lives in the face of such a sadistic hatred. And we thank you because in such a depressing time, you gave us all here hope in humanity once again. May God rest the souls of the victims and bring peace to their families. And peace be upon all of you, and thank you for coming.
Thank you so much. I'd like now to introduce Dr. Shamin Sadiq, who is a physician at Provena Covenant, a devoted member of the Muslim community, and our director of medical director at the Abyssinia Community Health Center.
Assalamu alaikum, everybody. I'd like to start with Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. We start in the name of God. Children, they are a true blessing. From the day they were born, through the phases of life they go through, their evolution, their journey, the amazingly beautiful, a true treasure for the parents. Sometimes parents go through agonizing ordeals with them, from sickness to ailment, sudden deaths, hostile deaths. I don't know if they're destined to have that journey or somewhere nature has gone wrong, made miscalculations for them, and kids end up suffering for no reason. I can understand something like sickness, ailment, which are not under human control. But with advances in medicine and resources, at least we can work on minimizing those pains. But what I cannot comprehend is kids facing disastrous ends and deaths based on some people prematurely terminating their destiny as a consequence of political battles, country battles, crazy men getting crazier, sadists depriving kids, poverty in countries secondary to disparity of resources. As much as I would love to address these issues, maybe have a magic wand to put an end to these miseries, it frustrates me that most of the times I am helpless. And there are a lot of parents who experience similar dilemmas. I cannot fathom or comprehend what the parents who have faced these disasters actually go through, but I'm hoping people like us can actually do what needs to be done within our limited resources to see how we can minimize this agony. I've been recently reminded of something about life. It doesn't matter who you are or how old you are. It can end in the blink of an eye. So why are we fighting against each other? We should teach all our children to love and respect not only human life, but all life. We need to teach our next generation that you don't fight fire with fire, and God is not vengeful. We are. There comes a time when someone must stand up and say, I'm sorry, and I was wrong. Someone has to be a bigger person to stop hate in these tracks. Am I angry at the recent events? You bet I am. Everybody can point fingers at who or what is to be blamed. Some want to blame the government, the president, the guns, the NRA. Some wanted to blame the parents of that young man. And some even wanted to blame the schools for keeping God out. Everyone can point a finger at somebody, but the truth is when we point finger at somebody, there are three fingers pointing back in our direction. What we're failing as society is that we have failed those children because we have become complacent in our gun laws and allowed guns to take over our streets. We failed that young man because we allowed mental health to fall by the wayside. A person has to be homicidal or suicidal before he can be forced to get mental health treatment. We failed his parents because we turned a blind eye to their sufferings and the sufferings of many parents with children who have serious mental health issues. We failed because we only believe what we wanted to hear, and the news organizations have fed us exactly that. Then when tragedy strikes, we allow them to force feed us with bad news 24/7 until we explode in anger or depression. When will it end? When will we return to love? When can we reach peace in not only this great land, but the whole universe? It's basically very simple. It's a very easy reality. We all have to remember that we all belong to each other. When we finally realize that, we are all connected to each other and to every single living being on this great planet that we are entrusted with. When we remember this, then we will have reached our true salvation. We will have atoned to our sins against humanity and against this planet, and we will have found that true peace. At this time, the best way to deal it with is through prayers, which have known to have miraculous power of providing healing touch for distraught families and give others the motivation to go forward and help those devastated families. Let us as parents work together and pray for families who have lost their children at the hands of people who have made decisions for their own crazy, selfish motives, whether it involved one person, one tribe, one community, or one nation. Children should not be a target of hatred, bias, anger, to justify personal, tribal, communal, community, or national wars, period. Prayers have a strong power of breaking these patterns of hatred and promoting peace and harmony, which should be the ultimate message of mankind, irrespective of caste, creed, color, nation, or religion. Amen.
I'd like to close this ceremony in the spirit of this interfaith encounter with the words of a great American poet, William Wordsworth, Intimations of Immortality. I dedicate this to these children and all the children who have perished so needlessly from assault weapons. There was a time when meadow, grove, and stream, the earth and every common sight to me did seem apparelled in celestial light, the glory and the freshness of a dream. It is not now, it hath been of yore. Turn wheresoever I may by night or day, the things which I have seen I now can see no more. Behold the child among his newborn blisses, 6 years darling of a pygmy size. See where mid work of his own hand he lies, fretted by sallies of his mother's kisses, with light upon him from his father's eyes. See at his feet some little plan or chart, some fragment from his dream of human life. Thou little child, yet glorious in the might of heaven-born freedom on thy being's height, why with such earnest pain dost thou provide the years to bring the inevitable yoke, thus blindly with thy blessedness at strife? Full soon thy soul shall have her earthly freight, and custom lie upon thee with a weight heavy as frost and deep almost as life. What though the radiance which was once so bright be now forever taken from my sight, though nothing can bring back the hour of splendor in the grass, of glory in the flower, we will grieve not, rather find strength in what remains behind, in the primal sympathy which having been must ever be, in the soothing thoughts that spring out of human suffering, in the faith that looks through death, in years that brings the philosophic mind, the clouds that gather round the setting sun do take a sober coloring from an eye. Thou hast kept watch over man's mortality. Another race hath been, and other palms are won. Thanks to the human heart by which we live, thanks to its tenderness, its joys and fears, to me the meanest flower that blows can give thoughts that do often lie too deep for tears. Thank you very much for coming.